is our first Sunday with an in-person audience since March the 15th. For many of you, that's probably the longest stretch you've ever gone without being in church, if you grew up in church, without being in the house for a service in your whole life. The truth is, I've been here every Sunday, so I can't really say that. But if I hadn't been preaching, that would have been true for me. 12 weeks would have been the longest I'd ever not been to church, probably. So welcome to those in person, and welcome to all of you that are watching online this morning. Let me make clear, I don't want anybody to feel like, I just feel guilty, or pastor's going to feel, mad at us if we don't show up in person. We want everybody to be safe. We're glad that you're faithfully joining us online, and we want everybody to be where they need to be in this, so just keep joining us online until it's comfortable and safe for you to be here, or if that happens. But right now, we're offering all these options. The last Sunday of March, I preached from the book of Habakkuk, and I said then that, in fact, Habakkuk says, station yourself and then be quiet and wait to hear from the Lord. And so I cautioned then about being too quick to speak about what this pandemic is all about. And after 65 years, I'm still learning the value of what James says in his little book, his little epistle, and that is, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Quick to listen, right? Slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That's some more good advice for all of us, particularly in the day and age in which we live. In addition to that, the Bible repeatedly tells us to get information, to get knowledge, but with our knowledge, to get wisdom and understanding. Learn the facts, learn things, but then learn wisdom and understanding to know how to apply the facts to what we know. And so I've tried to do that over these weeks. I've watched and listened. I've listened to webinars and all kinds of things from experts and pastors and leaders, and tried to learn a few things as we go along, and from just my own prayer time and reading the Word of God. Lord, what are you saying to us in the midst of this? So I called this pandemic perspective. I just want to, just a couple of reflections maybe on kind of what's happened. And it kind of is my first opportunity to kind of feel like I can tell you a couple of things that I felt like the Lord had spoken to me, a word for the church. So this is just a pastoral kind of message this morning in that sense. One of the first things I felt the Lord speak to me actually happened on March the 15th, I think it was. That was the last Sunday that we were worshiping together in an in-person congregation. And I knew then that we were probably going to have to cancel services. We actually announced that morning that we were canceling Sunday night and Wednesday night. We just have to see how long this was going to go. And if you remember all the way back the first of the year, in fact, it was the first sermon of the year, January the 5th, I preached, and there's no reason you would remember what I said then, but I look back and to see exactly what I'd said. But I mentioned then on that first Sunday that the Lord had spoken to me in 2019 that 2020 was going to be a year of blessing for Carbondale, and some of you remember that. And in 2019, in fact, the Lord had said that year was going to be a year of challenge, and it just kind of threw me. And I thought, Lord, you wouldn't tell me that to scare me, so what's the point of this? And then through that, in the midst of that, I heard the Lord saying that he was preparing us to handle the blessing, and that 2020 was going to be a year of blessing. So, started out great. We'd paid off the church remodel, and we were out of debt, and the Lord was blessing. There was financial increase. I was seeing numerical growth coming in the Sunday services. There were spiritual blessings. I thought, man, 2020, we're just going to blow the doors open and the roof off. God's going to pour his spirit out. This is going to be a great year. And then, bam, COVID-19. So on Sunday morning, knowing that we were probably going to enter into a season here of not being able to meet, and I'm praying, Lord, I thought you said 2020 was going to be a year of blessing, and I'm not feeling it right now, I'm just wondering what this is all about. What's up? And I sensed the Holy Spirit whisper into my heart a clarifying word to what I had heard earlier. I had information, and now I was gaining understanding and wisdom. And I just, as the Lord spoke it in my heart, I just began to weep. I thought, Lord, I missed it again. You spoke a word to me, and I misunderstood. And now I see the wisdom of it. I wrote it down in this notebook that I carry my notes in. I just wrote it on another piece of paper over here. But here's exactly what I wrote down and what I heard in my heart that morning. I thought, Lord, I thought it was a year of blessing. What's up? And I heard the Holy Spirit whisper in my heart, a year of blessing, I thought it meant the Lord was going to pour his blessings on us, but I believe he meant it would be a year when we would bless others in extraordinary fashion, unusual blessing of others. And when we do that, then he continues to bless us. So I thought it meant it was about us. It was about us being a conduit. It was about us being a pipeline for blessing to the community, or blessing to those in need, or those that need a groceries, or those that we could help. That's what it's been about. That's what he meant by a year of blessing. And my understanding then all of a sudden was, I should have known that. The one who said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive is the one who said it was going to be a year of blessing. I should have known he meant that was going to mean increased opportunity for us to bless others. And so here's the lesson I learned. Sometimes the word the Lord speaks to you needs kingdom clarification. Sometimes we just want to rush it. Oh, I've got it, and here we go. And that message from Habakkuk says of the word of the Lord, though it linger, wait for it. Give a little time for it to marinate, and then get kingdom clarification. What is God saying? And what is his point here? Give God time to make plain his word and his instruction to you. And then to see how it fits into a kingdom of heaven perspective and not just our own perspective, right? So I know that's the perspective of Republicans and that's the perspective of Democrats. But it's not just Republican or Democrat. It's not just white or black or law enforcement or protesters or science or conspiracy theorists. But what's the kingdom of heaven? What's the kingdom's perspective? How are we to view it as people of the kingdom, not as good citizens or anything, but how are we supposed to understand this as citizens and people of the Most High God? Do the values of heaven match up with the values that we're embracing? So let the Lord give us kingdom clarification in this season and give us an eternal perspective. What are the eternal consequences of the choices that we're making and the things that are happening? So his word about blessing was for us to bless others in extraordinary fashion. And we've been praying each night, asking God to help us recognize and seize the opportunities to be a blessing, to be the church in action in our community, in our city, in our world. And would you just continue to pray with us? Lord, give us wisdom and show us how to serve our community as well as the needs of the church. Because the needs are going to increase as things open back up and we're already, people are looking at eviction notices and all those kind of things. How can the church continue to be a blessing? Lord, show us the way. And as long as we continue to be that conduit of his blessing, God's going to bless us in return. We continue to give groceries. If you are here this morning, if you're watching us and you need groceries in your house, contact the church. Get in touch with us. We've got groceries that have been made available to us. The amazing thing, we were buying groceries to give in the community and to give to those in the church that were in need. And in the midst of this, because we're a talking is teaching site, the George Kaiser Family Foundation contacted us and said, we'll make groceries available to you for April and for May. And then they said, we'll continue to do it in June. And now they're going to continue another month. So they're giving groceries to us to give to others. So God's blessed us because the money we would have spent to buy the groceries have been furnished to us to give to others. So, and we've had opportunity to have other truckloads of food given. So there's food out there to be given. What I'm telling you is when he says it's about blessing, he's talking about blessing others, but he'll bless us to be a blessing. Amen? That's the reality of this. Well, another thing I said in that sermon in January is that we were praying for 2020 vision. You remember I said every preacher worth his salt was using that. We got to get 2020 vision in 2020. And I said it was a little cheesy then, but I was going to use it anyway. And I look back to see just exactly something that I'd said in that message. So quoting from the message, I said, I'm asking God to help us see the world and our circumstances as he sees them rather than how we see them. Our view is too small, too prejudiced and biased, too determined by our own circumstances and history and our own fears, too earthbound. We're short-sighted most of the time. We need to see heaven's bigger picture, to see life from the perspective of the kingdom of God. We need to be able to see what is truly, eternally, absolutely important from heaven's point of view. And that's what I said January the 5th of this year. So what have we learned? And how's our vision? Have we gained understanding? Have we seen what's truly essential, what's truly eternally important and of value? And I think we've been given an opportunity to gain some perspective over these weeks. I said back in March in that message that we've gained perspective on one thing about how we're all connected. We're all vulnerable to a virus that doesn't pay any attention to race or creed or gender or color or anything else. It means we're all on this planet together and we need to care for one another. 2020 vision. We've had the opportunity to see how to live without some things over these months. We experienced shortages. We couldn't find toilet paper. We couldn't find cleaning supplies. I still can't find the Campbell's soup that I want. I can't believe that everybody decided to hoard Campbell's soup somewhere or another, but we've got a recipe that needs a certain soup. Can't find it. But guess what? The world didn't come to an end because we had a few shortages here and there. The truth is, we discovered we could probably manage with a little bit less. And the other truth is, most people in the countries of the world experience shortages on a regular basis. We had a missionary say, "Welcome to the world and perspective of missionaries. We're used to it." So yeah, maybe the power's not on, you know, all 24 hours in a day. Maybe it goes off for a few hours. Or you go in the store, you don't have all the choices. If you want soup, there's only the tomato soup. You either like that or you don't, because they're just used to the shortages. And we've got a little flavor for maybe what others in the world have experienced. It's an opportunity to be more thankful for what we have and complain less about what we lack. And I know we've been inconvenienced by this, and you had to register for a service, and it's a little inconvenient, all that stuff. It's nothing compared to the inconveniences of a lot of people all over this planet. Thank God you didn't have to walk here this morning. A couple of you maybe did, but most of you drove in a car. Thank the Lord that you got transportation home. Thank the Lord you didn't have to get up and walk a couple of miles to go to a well to get clean water to take home so you could fix food for your family. And then you're going to have to walk back and get that later, another couple of miles to get water. There's millions of people are going to do that today that are going to have to come home and boil the water because it's not even clean water or fit to drink. Listen, we can complain about all kinds of things. We need to learn how to be thankful in the midst of this. I said a couple of Sundays ago, grace for all. Let's add one to that, gratitude in all. So there's grace overall. There's gratitude. The Bible says, be thankful in everything. In everything, give thanks. So we're going to have gratitude in it all. We've had the opportunity, as I said, to learn about what's truly essential. Turns out you don't have to have professional sports. We thought you did, but or even amateur athletics. Life still has meaning and purpose. I know it's not the same, but yeah, you can live without watching a professional athlete compete. There's more to living than entertainment. You can survive without eating in restaurants. And I know we got two restaurant owners here, Frank and Steve or whatever. If you haven't had an Arnold's hamburger, if you haven't had Steve and Margaret's barbecue over there at Smoke on 66, right? You need to get down there, support these people. But we can live without eating in a restaurant. They can't. These guys need to, well, and there's Paula Hooper back there. So yeah, we need to eat in their restaurants. If there's anybody else here that owns a restaurant, forgive me for not getting you included in this, but support those restaurants. But, huh? I just said Paula Hooper. Are you not paying attention over there in the corner? Oh. Spin the camera around to those people over there. So yeah. Mill Pond? What's the name of the place? Mill Barrel. I'm sorry. See, I don't know. Well, anyway, you get my point. We can live without a lot of things. As I said, they can't. You got to support them. But we've even learned you can be a church without meeting in the building all the time. We need each other, but you don't have to gather in a building to have relationship or to pray or to worship. Right? We can find ways to connect. You can find ways to worship. You've even got sermons to listen to online. There are ways to continue to grow and to be discipled and to serve. And so we're just going to learn new ways. You're aware that the first 300 or 400 years of the Christian faith, there weren't church buildings. This was a new thing or whatever. So it can survive. Had a pretty good start. Did pretty well for 300 years or so, 380 years. We can do this if we have to. I am kind of fascinated by the people that have been so adamant about the government trying to shut down our churches. We got to get those doors opened up. When are we going to get the church opened up? And then, you know, it's like, well, we're going to have in-person services now. You're going to be there, right? Well, no, we're going to the lake this weekend. Well, no, Branson's opened up again. Silver Dollar City, we're heading out. Well, we got tournaments again. We're all going to be gone. I thought it was a matter of... Y'all are looking at me. See, it's weird that I got real people looking at me now. because they're getting all real quiet because I didn't know what y'all are doing at home, but they're looking at me funny. It's like, well, now I guess we'll have to come back next week because we were going to Silver Dollar City next week, and now I won't know where you're going. It's just the point. We learned some ways to deal with this. We've been given the opportunity in recent weeks to see and learn how to respond biblically to others' pain and grief. The Bible says in Romans 12, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. So more than 105,000 Americans have died from this pandemic. And don't bother trying to explain to me about, well, they didn't all die from that. They elevate those numbers, and that's all. They died from something else, and Bill Gates did something or whatever. The Bible doesn't say anything about justifying your arguments or proving anything. It says, weep with those who weep. So it doesn't matter what the death certificate said. 105,000 people have died from this pandemic. Have you wept over the loss of life? Have you wept over the pain and grief suffered by so many families that are forever affected by this? Did we weep with those who were weeping? And in the midst of all this, we've watched once again in quick succession as African American friends and citizens have felt the pain of racial injustice and violence. And Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery and George Floyd. And sadly, again, from Christians, I've heard a quick excuse or deflection. Yeah, that's horrible about what happened to George Floyd, but, and then you fill in the blank with whatever you want to fill it in. Listen to what I'm telling you this morning, because I say this as your pastor. You can't rush past the injustice to deflect it to something else or to start talking about, well, the looters and the rioters and all that kind of the protesters that are out there. Listen, you know, we can't rush to that. You haven't done the biblical work yet. First, you weep with those who weep. Because that's what the Bible says to do. Don't let the rioters blur and the idiots that are out there just trying to wreak havoc or whatever, don't let them blur the opportunity for vision and clarity between all races. Right now there are hurting people. Right now they're hurting black people and white people. But they're our people. They need the body of Christ to just weep with them. And we all need understanding. We all need, I heard a preacher say, we need to listen to learn rather than listen to respond. Amen. We need to listen to learn rather than listen to respond. How about if right now we just devote ourselves to what Paul says, to love one another and honor others above ourselves, and then we just take some time to weep with the folks that are weeping. There'll be time for speeches and rhetoric later, but don't try to spin someone else's grief into something else. Just come alongside and weep with them, right? I mean, we're not dishonoring law enforcement to weep with people that are weeping. We've got law enforcement officers that are part of this church, and we love them, and we stand with them. Thank God for, we're praying for them every night, for godly first responders and EMTs and law enforcement and the people in the fire department, all those things. But today, we've got a biblical mandate to weep with the weeping. You understand what I'm telling you this morning? It's like saying, the response of people, it's like, well, we had Mother's Day. Mother's Day. I guess you don't even care about dads, huh? They got a day too. You'll get a card in June. Calm down, whatever. So you understand what I'm telling you. We're going to weep with those who are weeping. There's time for these other things. There's an opportunity for understanding. I think right now the best thing I know to say to the brothers and sisters of color that are part of Carbondale family, it's to tell you that we love you and we support you and we weep with you today. I don't know what it's like to be a minority in this nation or even in this church. So I'm asking you, young and old, if you're persons of color and you're part of our Carbondale family, help me learn and help me understand, because I'm listening. But what I want you to hear me say today is to know that I value you and we value you. This church values you and we love you. They're applauding here in this congregation. We love you. You matter. Your family matters. Yes, black lives matter. Your life matters. And we weep with you today. And my prayer is, God, give us clarity and understanding to love one another and to weep with one another and pray for better days, that someday we'll be able to rejoice with one another as well. And this pandemic's giving us the opportunity to learn how to love everybody, because I've never seen people more divided in my life. Divided over politics and divided over the pandemic and how to respond, all those things. Maybe it's just social media, because used to, we just assumed that everybody was as intelligent and and reasonable as we were, and but that's because we didn't know what everybody else thought. And then they put every thought that came through their mind on Facebook, and then we kind of went, yikes, I had no idea. Wow. So here's the reality. Who knew? We don't agree about a lot of stuff, but we can still love one another. Now listen to what I'm telling you this morning. Not everyone who loves Jesus agrees with one another on their political views. Well, you can't love Jesus and vote for that. Well, my point would be, you can't love Jesus and vote for this. All right? So let's each make up a list, and I'll, well, your mine cancels out your list. Well, thanks for sharing, whatever. The point is, there's an opportunity for understanding, because not everybody who's a part of Carbondale or who worships with us, either in person or online, not everybody thinks the same way about things. And we discover it even more. We don't think the same about politics. We don't think the same about the pandemic. We don't think the same about how we ought to combat it. We don't think the same about the president or the Congress or how to express things or a million other things. So the opportunity is for us to learn about grace for everyone and gratitude in everything, and to learn about other ways of viewing things, and then still be able to look at somebody and say, you know what, I still love you, and I'm glad you love Jesus, and you're part of the family of God, and now we're going to talk about something else so I don't have to punch you in the face, you know, or whatever. First service, 9 o'clock service, I said, throat punch, and then I said, I've never throat punched anybody in my life, and I won't do that now. And somebody said, that was the favorite thing I wrote down from the sermon, was that you said, no. Anyway. You understand? We're just going to love one another. If you've joined the church, if you've joined Carbondale in the past 35 years as a member, I read a statement to you from a book that Jerry Cook wrote years ago. He's in heaven now, called Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness. I'm not going to quote the book this morning other than to say that maybe that's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to remind you that it's about love and acceptance and forgiveness, and about healing and hope and laughter and peace. The Bible says this in Philippians 2, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose, and do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but look at this, in humility. Oh, Jesus, give us humility. In humility, consider others better than yourselves. And each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. That last verse would solve a lot of problems. In humility, to consider others better than ourselves and look not only to our own interest, but let's see if we can encourage the interest of others. Paul says to be like-minded. I can tell you he didn't expect people to agree on everything, because Paul didn't agree with everybody on everything. That's why he and Barnabas and John Mark all had to kind of go separate ways or whatever. He wasn't talking about trying to agree on everything. He was suggesting they be like-minded in this. He says, have the same love and spirit and purpose. You can disagree about a lot of other things, but let's agree that we're going to love Jesus and serve him and serve others. We can agree on that. How we're going to do that may vary, but we're going to love Jesus, we're going to love others, and we're going to serve God and serve others. So verse 5 says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Be like-minded. So he says, let this mind, let's have the mind of Jesus. Philippians 2, that verse in NIV says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. We're going to have the same attitude in all this. Love God, love others, serve God, serve others. So I've been saying it for weeks, so let me say it again. Keep your focus on Jesus. Keep the conversation on Jesus. Keep pointing people to Jesus. Keep talking about Jesus. We can't agree on much these days, but we can agree that Jesus is the answer, and he's the hope, and he's the way, and he's the truth, and he's the life, and he's the Savior, and he's the one we need to stay focused on. And the last thing I said in that message at the beginning of the year was that I felt the Lord had spoken to my heart that people were supposed to come home to Carbondale in 2020. I kind of missed that one too. I thought that meant that people that kind of grew up here and had wandered away or had left the faith or whatever, that they were going to come back. And some I'd seen some people come back, hey, I haven't seen you in so long, it's good to have you home, you know? And then I realized that, well, what do you know? Instead, the Lord brought people home online. And some of you are watching today that you haven't been in this physical building in 30 years, but you're watching us. Some of you live 5 miles away, and some of you live 500 miles away, but you found your way home to Carbondale. And I say, welcome home to all of you. Welcome home. We're glad you're part of that online family that found Carbondale once again. And so, once again, that word the Lord spoke to me. This is going to be a year when people are going to come home to Carbondale. It needed a little clarification, a little kingdom clarification. Oh, so here's how they're coming home. They're coming home online. And when I look at what I felt the Lord spoke to my heart months ago, and now, halfway through the year, I look at how different some of it's turned out, and yet how faithful God has been to, it just proves to me once again, it just reminds me again, I really can trust Him. I can trust His word, and He's going to make it work. I can trust His timing. I can trust His plans. He still causes all things to work together for our good. He has more faithful things in store for us if we can just keep trusting Him and learning. If we'll give Him time, He'll clarify things, because we're all a little, I'm a little slow on the uptake somehow or another. And so I'm thankful that He's patient with us. I'm thankful that James says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Father, and He won't give it to you like begrudgingly. He won't give it to you like, well, what's, you haven't learned anything yet. He's going to be generous to give us the wisdom that we need. I've said all along that I believe God is saying something we haven't heard yet. And so my word is, let's keep listening. Amen. I'm willing to learn, Lord. I'm open to gaining knowledge and understanding. So is it okay if God opens your eyes to something brand new in the midst of all this? What if He shifts your perspective a little bit? He's sure shifting ours. We're learning some new things, the whole pastoral staff, all of us are. We're having to. What if He rocks your world? What if He clarifies something that you thought was settled? Are you willing to change and to be changed by all this? You remember that old saying, well, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, I'm pretty sure it depends on the old dog, okay? Not calling anybody here an old dog, but I'm just saying there may be some old dogs that you can teach a new trick to if they're willing to learn. I want to be one of those old, I'm one of the old dogs. I'm supposed to be home. I'm in that category now. I got my Medicare card, and I'm supposed to be home, but I'm out here. But I'm pretty sure that this old dog is willing to learn. I'm still trying to learn. I'm trying to learn from these other pastors, and I'm trying to learn from you, and I'm trying to learn from friends of color, and I'm trying to learn from people that are different from me and their politics and everything else. I'm trying to learn, and I'm trying to learn what Jesus is trying to teach me in the midst of a pandemic. And if we'll open our heart to Jesus, I believe He's got more blessing and more clarity and more insight and more things for all of us to learn and to accomplish. He's not through with us yet. So let's keep listening and learning and gaining understanding for everything He has for us. I hope you'll receive this word. I hope you don't feel like I'm scolding you or whatever. I felt like it was a responsibility as your pastor. I just want you to hear the heart of this pastor, this shepherd, that I wanted to share my heart with you today. So Lord, I lift this to you today. I'm thankful for this church. Thank you for this church family. Thank you for the opportunity we have, Lord, to be able to serve and to bless others. And Lord, we're in a unique situation. None of us have ever done church quite like this. And it's a little bit inconvenient, but Lord, again, I know people that have gathered in churches, other places of the world, and they walked for miles to get there today, and they're going to stay all day long. And they'll walk 5 or 6 or 7 miles home in the evening, tired and happy because they've been in the house of God. And they didn't have comfortable chairs or anything else, but they had the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what we have today. So Lord, help us not to gripe and complain. Help us to have grace for all and gratitude in it all, and for your great provision for us. And Lord, I'm convinced there are lessons you're trying to teach us to make us more like Jesus and to make us a better church and to show us how to care about people that are different from us, or people that don't have the same life experience. We're all different. We all bring different ideas to the political table or anything else. But Lord, teach us how to take your word and apply it. Teach us how to be the people that you've called us to be. Teach us the people to be the people that'll wait at a well in an uncomfortable place to talk to a woman that's different from us. Teach us how to go across a line. Lord Jesus, you taught us by all those ways to touch people that were untouchable, the hurting and the least and the last. God, help us to be your church in our world and in our community. Help us, Lord, to discern this season and our opportunity, and to make that opportunity count in every way. Lord, I trust you today. Lord, for friends that are watching from other places, Lord, I pray your grace to be upon them. For the families in-house and online, may your grace be upon them. May the favor of the Lord shine on them. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you today and give you peace. Let it be in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you for watching today. Thank you for being here in-house. You that are in the house, you that are home, you get a set right there in your recliner. You that are in-house, you get a set right here, and they're going to dismiss you at a row at a time. Thank you for being here. Kids, thanks for being here with mom and dad. Thanks for watching. If you have offering, you in-house, you can leave it at the information desk. We will ask you to head straight out in the parking lot so we can sanitize things and get ready. And so God bless you, though, and go right ahead, you guys, and dismiss them a row at a time. They'll be on their way. Thank you so much. Amen. Remember, you'll need to register for